Call the meeting to order. Vicky, please call the roll.
Yes, thank you. Somebody already said here. Trustee Robert Boyd?
Here.
Trustee Raquel Chavez? Trustee Robert Marshall?
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir? Trustee Tim Struthers?
Here.
Board Chair Mark Strauss?
Here.
Committee Chair John Butler? Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Coleman, I think you need to register as present.
I didn't hear my name, so I'm sorry. Here.
All right. For the second time today, I'm not conducting a coup. I'm the vice chair of this committee. Chair Butler sends his regrets. He's unfortunately on his way back from Hawaii and unable to attend. But I'm sure he'll be here for the next meeting. I appreciate all of you bearing with us while we had scheduling problems today. Mr. Blakemore, can you verify appropriate notification of this meeting?
Yes, and you also have a quorum.
Yep. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
So be it.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have two sets of minutes to approve. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for the August 6, 2015 special FFOC meeting and the August 27, 2015 regular FFOC meeting?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I don't have any other comments or announcements today. I understand that we do have one request for from the public. So, Bessie Chronopoulos, if you'd like to come to the podium, please.
I've had more practice.
I certainly hope so.
So why do you have the crutches and the wheelchair? Got to use one or the other.
Well, it's the hybrid model. We do that a lot around here.
Back up, just in case. Okay, I'll probably be visiting you again, and I don't necessarily want to talk to this committee. I was planning on the 1:30 meeting, but I guess you're running a little bit behind schedule. So if it's proper protocol, I'll just make the general public comments at this point. Is that correct? Am I...
That's fine. Go right ahead.
Is that fine? Okay. Then I can go on and do some other things. Okay. First of all, NIU is a great institution. Back in 1966, a very green little 17-year-old came to Northern, had never left home before, coming from Greek parents that were very strict, and continued my career here at Northern as a student, which gave me the power to enabled me to become a teacher. And I served as a teacher for 39 years. So Northern got me here to DeKalb, and DeKalb has been my home pretty much ever since. So this is, no question about it, a great institution. And anything that I say and any involvement that I have in my comments to the Board of Trustees, because this is kind of new to me too, it's a new territory, is because of the fact that this is a great institution and I would like it to maintain its status as a great institution, become even better. What you have is a huge responsibility. There's no question, and there's a lot of work involved. You are all educated people. You are all very successful. And you are the folks that need to give back to the community, and I'm glad that you're doing that. I need to give back to the community because we are blessed with the gift of an education and some success in our lives. And I hope that you take, and I'm sure that you do, your responsibilities to protect this institution very seriously. Of late, in the last year, year and a half or so, there have been some very discouraging remarks and situations that have come to light involving this institution, and it worries me. It worries many people. It worries people in the community of DeKalb because NIU is such an integral part of this community. We're melded together. Like it or not, we're melded together. It's just part of what we are. decisions that have been made have been very costly financially. And when you talk to a teacher who turns folders inside out to use them again next year and goes through markers to make sure that they're all out of ink before they get thrown out, you learn how to economize because you have to. You want to get the biggest bang for the buck because you want to educate those youngsters to which you are responsible. That is your primary responsibility to your students and to your faculty, so that the product that is produced here in the field of education is the very best. But if poor decisions are continuing to be made that are very costly, of late there's some legal costs, as I understand it, decisions that were made with some of the bold initiatives that was started maybe, what, about a couple of years ago? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. The only thing that I can see as an educator is how many youngsters could be educated with that money. And I think that's the way you should start looking at your decisions. And I am depending on you, and there's four of you here that I have known through past experiences, many, many years as a public servant myself, Mr. Bowie, Mr. Strauss, I've met you, Mr. Struthers, and the one who's flying back from Hawaii, Mr. Butler. You know where I'm coming from, and you know me. And this is a genuine plea to you, the Board of Trustees, to do your very best to be economical and to protect the greatness of this institution. And I'll be back, and I'll be watching, and I'll be probing, and I'll be questioning. Why? Because I care, and many, many people out there do. So please, take it very seriously, and good luck to you.
Thank you. All right, let's turn to agenda item number 7. Vice President Phillips, the floor is yours.
First of all, before we get started, I would like to make an introduction. We recently hired an associate vice president for budget and finance. This is his first committee meeting, and here in another month it'll be his first board meeting. And I would like to introduce Larry Pinkleton to the board. Larry comes to us from Chicago State University, where he was the chief financial officer. We're very fortunate to have him here. He has a very extensive background, both inside and outside of higher education. The advantages that, except with the difference in title of the school, having been in Illinois and having dealt with a lot of these same kinds of fiscal challenges that we're dealing with, Larry's able to come in and immediately pick things up and move things forward, certainly having an understanding of all the challenges that we're facing in higher education here in the state. So, Larry, if you would stand up, I'd like to recognize you, and certainly we are delighted to have you here as a member of our staff. With that, I would like to go through the recommendations for the committee. Item 7A is bowl game participation expenses. As you might have known, we won the game last night. We're in a three-way tie, and we have high hopes that we will be going to a bowl game. We just don't know which one or where yet. So we're requesting that the Board of Trustees delegate to the president or his designee approval for all necessary and proper expenses related to NIU's participation in a postseason bowl game competition. So we recommend that the Board of Trustees approve this request for the expenditure authority for a postseason bowl game competition and delegation of approval authority to the president or designee to undertake all transactions necessary in relation to the bowl, reporting all bowl-related expenses to the board at a subsequent meeting.
Have a motion to that effect, please. Second. You need to say something.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion.
He's got it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Item 7B, Intercollegiate Athletics, IHSA State Football Championship Ticket Agreement. I believe this is the second time we've held the state football championships here. Basically, this is the approval for expenditure authority for the Illinois High School Association not to exceed $400,000. Basically, it's a transfer of the funds to IHSA as a result of our agreement with them, and this would account for the appropriate ticket revenue.
Thanks. Sorry. All right. Can I have a motion to that effect, please?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we continue, it appears that I neglected to recognize the representatives from UAC, which I assure you is not an intentional oversight. But since I'm also advised that you may have some comments to make, now would be a good time to do it before I forget again.
We appreciate that, and I'll turn it over to Holly. And
thank you for the opportunity. Regarding the state budget, I just want to echo the commendations earlier for the Student Association for an organized, informative, and respectful rally. The content was meaningful and inspiring, and there was good energy, and hopefully it will add to the momentum. The students have a strong voice, and they used it. And I know Chair Muir earlier was talking about, you know, getting riled up, and I think the students did a great job. Also, I want to highlight on page 49, Item 17, which is the contract with lynda.com. This is an exciting opportunity for faculty, staff, and students. This professional development opportunity will expand knowledge and capabilities for staff, allowing for more in-house innovation and expand career opportunities within the university. Also, this can be a robust supplement for faculty instruction and student education, which will positively impact their career success. So I think only great things are going to come from this for the university and beyond, and I want to applaud this initiative. Lastly, regarding campus improvements, we're obviously moving in a positive direction, and I know firsthand from students that these are very important. It's an endeavor for recruitment and retention, and I'm thankful for the board support, even though the state may not always be so supportive, at least financially. What I'm curious about, if there is a way to track return on investment for these improvements, I'm sure it wouldn't be as simple to make that connection, but I believe it's an important conversation to have, and it may ease any tensions that may be out there about the way money is spent at NIU. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
I would just quickly add thank you for first the Stevens building being winterized. That's a good thing to see happening. But also I'd like to thank Al Phillips and members of the budget team. We have a new level of collaboration this year, I think, particularly with the Resource Space and Budget Committee. We've been meeting regularly and feel very strongly that that's a step in the right direction. So I just want to make a public comment of appreciation on that.
Appreciate your feedback. All right, let's resume.
All right. Item 7C, Division of Information Technology Network and Communication Services Upgrade. We request to pull this from the agenda. This was an IPHEC purchase, and as a result of requirements, now that we bring those purchases over $250,000 to the board, that one is not ready to come to the board. So we would ask to pull it from the agenda.
We will pass it and move to 7D.
7D, graduate school application fee increase. The university seeks permission of the Board of Trustees to increase from $40 to $60 the fee charged U.S. citizens applying to grad school. It also seeks permission to begin charging non-degree applicants a $10 application fee. The request for the fee is as a result of impending implementation of new application software, which will be provided by a third-party vendor. Because of the costs associated with implementation of the software, which is largely calculated on a per-applicant basis, the increase is necessary. Over recent decades, the graduation application fee has increased incrementally. The fee is used exclusively for recruitment purposes, and despite the increased cost of the application software, the revenue generated by a higher fee will be maintained at a steady state. It will allow us to maintain a steady state the budget for recruitment purposes. The recommendation is that the university, or that the Board of Trustees, raise the application fee charged U.S. citizens to $60 to raise the application fee charged to non-degree applicants to $10.
Can I have a motion to that effect, please? Second. Discussion? Trustee Coleman.
I'm
does this fee relate to other MAC schools and other state schools within the state, other schools within the state?
Dean Bonk is dealing with a pressing student issue, so I am representing him here. And if you look in the third paragraph of the information item where it talks about the median application fee among peers, those would be a group that includes what we would consider our in-state comparables as well as our MAC comparables and probably three or four other institutions that offer a comparable portfolio of graduate programs. So even at the $60 mark that we would be raising our fee to, we would still be close to what we would consider the median among our peers. And with this software, which is a very smooth platform, shortens and eases time to application and is also more linked to search for types of degree programs, we believe it's well justified. It was unanimously endorsed by the Graduate Council.
And so when we talk about peer schools, is that traditionally the MAC schools or the state?
When we do a peer group, we include subset of the state schools and a subset of the MAC schools. So for I can't tell you exactly which ones they are, but I can tell you in some cases which they aren't. We would not consider Western and Eastern our peers in terms of graduate education because they don't offer the same diversity of master's and doctoral programs that we do. Among the MAC schools, some are more baccalaureate, comprehensive-oriented than we are, but then you would look at one at the like the University at Buffalo with a large medical school and more professional schools, and we would also probably not consider them our peers. So I can get you the exact list of peers, but it's probably SIU, the MAC schools that are, you know, the Michigan schools that are somewhat comparable to us. I would assume maybe North Texas, East Carolina, but I don't have that information right in front of me.
Thanks.
I have a different question as long as you're answering. I understand wanting to be able to cover costs for the system enhancement, and I also understand there's something to be said for administrative convenience if there's a fixed fee. But it occurs to me that there may be certain applicant populations where you might have a greater volume of applications and produce the same or more in application fee income if they had a reduced rate. And that could be something as simple as an incentive for our students to apply here, or it could be an effort to be able to attract students from particular places. Was there any consideration given to some other model beside just flat pricing?
So the fee, in addition to covering the software enhancement, this is also the fee that covers most of our graduate student recruitment expenses. And although I wish Dean Bond were here to talk more directly to this, I would say that we do have mechanisms for waiver of fees if they're requested, but particularly at the graduate level, where some of the students are working adults and many of the students are looking to go into either self-pay programs that will require financial solvency or they'll be awarded assistantship. I don't think price point in a graduate application fee is as important. Students are typically trying to match program with interest. The international students that are applying have to demonstrate their ability to pay in a number of different ways, or we have a financial aid option for them. So I don't think there was a lot of consideration given to reducing our fee, especially when we were at $40 and the median for our peer group was $60. But I would need Dean Bond to confirm that.
All right. Any other questions? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 7E. The Office of the General Counsel requests permission to increase a contract to Safe Harth Shaw for outside legal services related to preparation for litigation. The original agreement was approved on August 7th for $125,000. This amendment is an additional $225,000 for a total of $350,000.
Can I have a motion to that effect, please? Second. Don't all speak at once now. Any one works. Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 7F, Stevens Building Winterization. Architectural Engineering Services requests permission to issue an order to the Capital Development Board for Stevens Building Winterization according to an interagency agreement for the Stevens project. Let me say a couple of quick words. The purpose of this project is to enclose the Stevens facility to protect it from damage that may be as a result of the winter weather. Originally, we were going to try to heat the inside at a cost of about $80,000. Due to very strident efforts by John Heckman, our VP, our AVP for facilities, who had a number of lengthy conversations with CDB, because this technically is a CDB project, we were able to reach an agreement whereby we would spend $300,000 to move the project forward to a point where it was enclosed, preventing possibly as much as $1 million damage to the facility, depending on the winter. And the agreement was that we would work with them to reimburse us once the money has finally been released for the project. Basically, what this does is it moves the project forward. It's not something that we would have done differently. It just allows us to move the project forward to a point where the facility is protected from the winter elements. And so I do want to thank John for all of his work. I'm not aware of any other project, or maybe one in the state, where they've allowed them to actually move forward out of over 100 state projects that have been put on hold. So
the recommendation again?
The recommendation is to approve the expenditure of $300,000 to move the project forward to enclose it, protect it from.
Can I have a motion to that effect? Second. Discussion? I want to thank you for and your colleagues for getting us to the point where we're able to preserve the investment that's already been made. This is in the nature of trust us, where the state will pay you back the $300,000.
We did everything we could to get them to commit, and we know where they work in Springfield. So,
all right, thank you. All those in favor? Oh, yes, please.
Before we actually vote, I would like to raise a question about where's the funds coming from.
These are funds that we will that we would normally use for projects of this type. These are operational funds, university operational funds. The actual funding for the project is sitting in Springfield. The problem is that they did not appropriate the funds to go forward with any of the projects. This is money that was bonded for, so it's not tied up in the rest of the state funding issues. They just didn't appropriate the funds, which meant all they had to do was say, yes, you can spend the money. So since we're moving the existing project forward, which was part of the original project, our discussions with CDB are that they will make every effort to refund that money once the money starts to flow again.
So what if we need this $300,000 for other work?
We have sufficient reserves to cover this.
Through the end of the budget crisis or what?
Through the end of the fiscal year or until they reach some sort of budget agreement.
Which we don't know when that may happen.
We do not know when that may happen.
All right.
If I may also, there have been general counsel to general counsel discussions regarding this as well. So although we don't have, here's a lockdown agreement that's in writing, et cetera, I'm comfortable, given the conversations that we have had, that they will comply with their part of the bargain here.
So the state has promised us capital funding for years and years and years, and often they've come up short, right? And we think this is different. Is that what we're saying?
They actually have. This money was bonded for these projects. So this is not money they would have to appropriate that doesn't currently exist. This money is actually sitting in the bank, and for lack of a better term, in Springfield. All they had to do was pass a bill that says, yes, you can spend the money and have the governor sign it, because the money is already there. So the risk of us not getting the rest of the money is virtually non-existent. They just have to resolve their budget issues so that they can appropriate it so all these projects can start again.
And if we don't move forward and approve this, how much is at risk in terms of?
Worst case, probably close to $1 million in damage. It's a $23 million project, and we have no idea how bad the winter's going to be, but you could suffer damage to the foundation, to the walls, to basically the pipes, significant damage, because it's to a point where it's not yet enclosed, so anything inside is subject to freezing damage. It gets water in, it freezes, it breaks, it cracks, and then we have to go back in and fix all that.
And we think we have enough time to get that done before.
We do. In working with the contractor, we actually have a very good contractor for this project. The company we're working with, the construction company, is actually going to pull the supervisor who was on the project originally off another project to bring him back over here to continue the work so that it's consistent and there's no issues associated with bringing someone else to oversee the project. So they are actually pulling the person who was in charge of the project and bringing him back over to oversee this work to make sure it's done right.
All right, any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any of the information items that you particularly want to comment on, Dr. Phillips? Are there questions from the board on any of the information from the committee? Yeah.
I would.
Yes, Trustee Struthers.
So I recognize in my early tenure here that we're maturing on a lot of fronts, governance and scorecards and metrics and such. So kind of keep that in context. But I do want to go on record that of citing that I'm surprised and I guess somewhat shocked at the lack of not seeing financial statements in the packet. And I recognize, again, that we've been through a massive transition in the finance department. So Al and I have talked about this. This isn't a surprise, and I said I would comment. But to look in the packet and basically see the only measure of our finances as the change in cash and investments from one year to the next is I don't know what I want to call that exactly, but again I recognize this transition and he's pulling a lot of things together, but there really is no substitute for financial statements. There are not. I mean, a traditional balance sheet and an income statement, you can't confuse cash flow and income and expenses and accruals and that sort of thing with GAAP-based statements. I also recognize it's a complex institution, but so is General Electric. And General Electric has 307,000 employees. It operates in 107 countries and produces a financial statement 25 days after quarter end every quarter, as do most companies, right, even big businesses and small. So it seems to me that we, in the metrics and that sort of thing that we've asked for in other areas, this is something I think that I would really like to see us commit to a time frame when we would have standard financial statements provided in the packet.
Please.
As Trustee Struthers commented, he and I had a rather lengthy discussion about this yesterday. We're actually in the process of putting together financial reports. We have a relatively new team. None of us have been here longer than 8 months. A lot of work to be done, especially in the current environment. Our goal is to have at least the start of foundation reports going to the board in March at the next board meeting. It may not be perfect, but we will have start including financial statements in our that we provide to the board before each of these meetings. In accordance with our discussion yesterday, that's nothing that we actually had not planned to do already. So we will continue down that road and certainly are look forward and be able to do that.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate your response.
Any other questions regarding the agenda item 8 matters? Any other matters? So the next meeting of this committee is going to be in February. I know the date's already been posted. Can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting, please? All in favor?
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned.